Okay, brethren, let's turn to back to Matthew chapter 13. I have found great encouragement as we've looked at these parables to know that the Lord is able, that He shall make His word effectual, that it shall not return unto Him void, and that He shall grow His children, everyone, in the gospel. Now, this morning we're going to look at the parable of the leaven. The leaven. And we'll look here in Matthew 13:33. Another parable spake He unto them. This is the gospel Himself speaking. This is Christ Jesus, the Word, the Lord, the Savior of His people, the Son of God, the Son of Man, speaking. And He says, another parable spake He unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, leaven. He says here, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Now, leaven is used in many places in Scripture to denote the effects evil has, falsehood has, in this world and upon a people. And the leaven itself is not the thing. We're looking at the effect it has. And when it's used for evil, it is showing how that evil and falsehood and every false way, it began with one word in the garden. Falsehood did. And it spread to all mankind, in that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It created spiritual death. It changed the whole nature of man from being upright, the creation of God, to being a fallen, evil, wretched, godless, spiritually dead creature. Well, here in this case, we're speaking of leaven, the effects it has in a good sense. He's speaking about the kingdom of heaven and the effect that the gospel has in a good sense. He uses this metaphor, leaven, because it changes the nature of dough. Leaven is yeast. When you put it in dough that's been ground and made into meal and it's had some water mixed with it and it's been formed into a paste in a dough and you put yeast in it, it changes the nature of the dough. And that's what he's speaking about here. A small quantity of leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. That's the gospel that he's talking about. We're talking about the gospel and the effects that the word has. Now he says here, which a woman took. Christ is the husband. The church is the bride. The church is the weaker vessel, the woman. And it's through the church, through his messengers, through his witnesses, that this gospel goes forth. This gospel that leavens the whole, that it goes forth. And when he speaks here of the woman, the weaker vessel, I'm reminded of Paul, who said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, weak vessels, vessels of clay, just clay pots, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And it is. This excellency is of Him. Now when he says here too that this, it's like a woman who took and put, let me read it. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid. Hid. We're talking about this being hidden somewhere. Hidden somewhere. In the, she hid in 3 measures of meal. Now, the Lord has been using metaphors here, describing the believer as seed. Well, seed grows up, and from the plant comes forth wheat, which is seed. Children. That's the metaphor here, wheat. And from that wheat is gathered and it's ground up, and that makes the meal. that you make the bread with. Well, here he speaks of this meal. It's been ground up. And that's a good description of what has happened in a regenerated sinner. Whenever God, we're born with a heart that is stony, a heart that is hard, just like a corn kernel, like a kernel of corn. It's just hard. Can't penetrate it. Well, you take yeast and you take a bowl of corn kernels, like what you're going to make popcorn from. You take that hard kernel and just fill you up a bowl of that, take you 3 measures of corn kernels, and you put you some yeast in it and see what happens. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But you grind it up. You grind it up into meal and make it into that pliable dough. And then you put this yeast in it and see what happens. And it changes the nature of it. This is what happens with a believer when he's made a new creature. God gives him a new heart, a new nature. And this gospel is in the hidden man of the heart, that part that's been made teachable and understandable and to rejoice in the message of God's grace. And he makes that heart, he makes that spirit, he makes that pliable dough, and he adds this leaven of this word to that to create a whole new creature, a whole new creation. Look over at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We're going to see this in a moment. You're going to get in Christ by God putting Christ in you and putting you in Christ. And he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. The old way we thought, the old way, the old wisdom that we called wisdom, the old way we thought who God is and how God saved, the old things are gone. They're passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things, all these things, are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul is writing to the believers at Corinth, and he's saying, this is what God has done. He's made us new creatures. He's done all these things. This is all, and all things are given of God in Christ because of the reconciliation he's wrought in his Son. Now, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to ask you this question. What is the leaven? What is this gospel leaven which makes all things new? What is that? It's of God in its entirety. In its entirety. And God gives it. And he says here, when he gives it, he makes all things new. And the old things pass away. This is grace, sovereign ability of God to do what only God can do. Now, what is it? What is this? John said, writing to the brethren, those who this change has been wrought by God, he said to them, you have an unction from the Holy One. An unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Paul just said all things are of God. And he said all things is what makes this new creature, and the old things pass away. The revelation is given from God, Paul said. God who is faithful to the one in whom he's given God-given faith to receive that work that he has freely wrought. Reception is a free receiving. It is an open-handed reception of what has already been accomplished. That's what faith is. And it's from God. They're of God. All these things are of God, who gives them himself and makes this new creation. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the gospel leaven. He's talking about why he is one of these earthen vessels, one of these weaker vessels, one of this pictured here as the woman who took the leaven and hid it in three measures of meal. He's going forth with the word that is the leaven that's going to make all things new. That's going to make the new creature. And he starts out here, he's talking to Corinthian believers. He's talking to, and they had a lot about them outwardly that a lot of folks would want to major on. And Paul didn't major on those things. He majored on this. Look in the first chapter, verse 4. He says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." It's always a gift given them by grace. "That in everything, ye are enriched by him." You've been given this enrichment by him. "In all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ, the gospel of Christ, was hidden in you, confirmed in you, put in you." This is how they had all things of God, were enriched in all utterance and in all knowledge. Does that mean they knew everything there was to know about God? No. But they knew all things. The believer knows all things. "So that you come behind in no gift." Everything God has to give you, he's given you, and you've got it. You've got all things. Everything. That's what he's telling them. "You've been enriched in all things. And you're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end." He's going to keep this put in to the whole lump be leavened. He's going to keep putting it in and putting it in and keep you individually and all together, adding to it as should be saved. And he's going to confirm you all to the end, he said, "that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is where all spiritual blessings are. They're in Christ. These are the all things that are in Christ. And he says, "God is faithful." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for therein is the revelation of God." Divine revelation from faith. God is faithful. "To faith, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." God the faithful one has made all things known unto you. He's made all you to know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. All things. All right, now, what are these all things? What is this unction that he gives to the believer when he creates life and faith in a believer and grants repentance to the true and living God? What is these all things? Paul spends these first three chapters talking about how that our message is not to point you to the person. Our message is not to point you to the preacher. Our message is not to point you to the world. Our message is not to point you to the flesh. He's saying this is the problem. This is where the origination of all your problems you got in Corinth are coming about. It's because of this. Our gospel is to point you away to Christ. And he spins through and he says, this is how God determined to save people. He determined to hide this leaven in those that he's made new, in those that in whom he's made their heart new. He's determined to use the weaker vessel to prepare this bread by casting in this seed, casting in this leaven. And he gets to the end of speaking about this and talking about God's purpose in this. And he tells us exactly what it is that the believer knows from the very first hour God saves him, so that he has an unction and knows all things. And here it is. Here it is. 1 Corinthians, verse 30. of him are ye in Christ Jesus. You see, when I'm made to know my sin, and I'm made to know what I am, God makes me to know it so that I confess, I know, right? I know that if he's going to save me, it's got to be by grace. It's got to be God's free gift. It's got to be not based on anything in me. I know that because I see what I am. If I don't see what I am, I don't know that. I don't believe. I think I'm in Christ or I've done something by my will. This is what every believer knows. That thief on the cross knew these things as fully as the believer that dies who's been in the faith for 60 years. That's true. This is the very virtue that went out of Christ into the woman with the issue of blood and made her every whit whole. This is the healing of Christ. This is the leaven. This is it. And he makes me to know that it's of him that I'm in Christ Jesus. And from day one, I grow knowing more and more about that. This increases like leaven makes the, leavens the whole lump. I grow more and more to behold, he put me in Christ before the world even began. He put me in Christ before I even existed. Not only did he put me in Christ in the day he called me by his grace and made this revelation known in me, he did this from the very beginning. So that I know nothing about this came about by me. And here's what he makes me to know. Who of God? All things are of God, Paul said. All this is of God. And he's made Christ unto us wisdom. He makes me to behold. When I'm made to see what I am, nothing, absolutely nothing, my cry is going to be how can a man be just with God? How can I be just? How is it God could even save me? And he makes us to behold in Christ is the wisdom wherein God found the way that he can be just, still be just, and save a sinner who deserves no mercy whatsoever. And he makes me to behold Christ is that wisdom who actually accomplished this work, this purpose of God. He did it. He did it. He actually did it. He declared God just, and he declared that God is the justifier. He's God in the flesh. He's the wisdom that honored the law, that never broke any precept of the law in thought, in word, in deed, his very nature. He's the one who came forth and fulfilled all righteousness. He's the one who went to the cross and died with my sin upon him and completely put it away and justified me from all things from which I could not be justified by anything I've done. He did it. And he's wisdom. I see him as absolutely wise in doing so. And then he makes me to see that he's my righteousness and my sanctification. This is what I behold when I behold Christ. He is my righteousness and my sanctification. Not the one who will make you righteous or will sanctify you. He has made unto us righteousness and sanctification. He is the one who sanctifieth, and his children are the ones who are sanctified. But he has made unto us all our righteousness and all our sanctification. This is the all things of God. Now let me show you something. Turn to Galatians 2. Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 1. Turn to Galatians 2. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Galatians, he said to them that there was some that troubled them. And he said they came preaching another gospel, which is not another. It had the form of a gospel, but it was not gospel at all. And he said, it's trouble, it's bewitching, it's damning. And Paul said, I wish that these that came with this gospel were completely cut off. And he used that term because that's what they were trying to do to the people. Cut off. Make you cut off this, cut off that. Stop doing this, stop doing that. Cut, 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 cut. That's how you're going to be saved. Cut, cut, cut. Paul said, I wish they were cut off. Now here's how Christ is my righteousness. Galatians 2, verse 16. Now, this is the gospel, and this is us opposite to that other gospel. And this is what God makes us to know when he makes us to behold Christ. This is it. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing, that's what he makes us to do. He makes us to know. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And you can just, right there where it says works of the law, you can put in by himself. You put by myself. I'm not justified by myself. I'm not justified by something I do. Period. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not faith in Jesus Christ. Not yet. The righteousness of God is not manifest in you by your faithfulness. It's manifest by what he sent his son to do and what his son accomplished and the faithfulness of his son. If that's not there, you're going to trust in your faith. And that's the same as trusting in the works of the law. It's the faith of Christ. All right? Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. This is why we believe in him, because we behold the faithfulness of him. We believe in him. This is what faith is. Faith receives the faithfulness of Christ by faith in him. All right? And he says that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Not my faith in Christ, but the faith of Christ. What he did. He declared God just, and he is the justifier. God Almighty in Christ justified his people. He did it. And when he gives you faith, he gives you faith to behold what he did. And you enter in, receive freely what he already did. It's the faithfulness of God. That's the difference between a truth and a lie. Not by the works of the law. Not by anything mere you did. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Nothing we could do to manifest the righteousness of God. Nothing we could do to make ourselves righteous before God. Nothing we could do. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, you know what he's talking about? If we go back to ourselves and go back to the law of Moses and go back to something we've done to try to be righteous, to try to be holy, he says, is Christ the minister of sin? Did Christ do that? Did God do that? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, if I go back to my own vomit and go back to that which after God has made me to behold that in the gospel this word, if I go back now and try to be justified by something I've done, sanctified by something I've done, it's another gospel, Paul said. I wish they were cut off. Oh, I do wish they were cut off. It's troubling. Always pointing you away from Christ to man. Always pointing you away from Christ to man. Always pointing you away from Christ to man. And it's troubling, it's bewitching, it's the subtlety of Satan. It's the seducing of Satan himself. It's the lie of Satan himself. And he said, if I do that, I'm the only one to blame. The only one to blame. For I, through the law, through the complete upholding of God's law, am dead to it that I might live unto God. How'd that come about? Because the faith of Christ. What he did. I'm crucified with Christ. When he died, I died. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The leaven's been put in me. It makes the nature different, new, completely new. It's been hidden in me. A new creature's been made. Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, though I'm still in this old body of death, I live one way. By the faith of the Son of God. What did Paul say? This one who called you, this one who enriched you, this one who did all this grace by Christ Jesus, this one who confirmed the gospel of Christ in you, who enriched you with all things, who made you to know all things, will continue to keep you in him. God's faithful. And that's exactly what Paul says. I live this way by the faith of the Son of God. He's keeping me. He's keeping me. That's what we read in the back, fellas. He turns you to destruction when anything comes between you and him, and he says, now return to me. and he leaves you right there till all your gourds are blasted, and then he comes and turns you back to him and says, now then, see how I'm faithful and I'm not going to let you go. It's the faith of Christ is how I live. Who loved me and gave himself for me. All this is focusing on what he did and what he does. And I don't frustrate the grace of God. I don't renounce it. I don't try to speak against it. You can't do that without speaking against God. Period. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now Paul said, we know this. That's the first thing. He's my righteousness. Here's the second thing. That's no truth. That is a lie. Period. Just period. Period. And that's here, Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Was it the hearing of the gospel that did this? Was it the Christ entering in and making God making Christ unto you sanctification? Is that how you were separated from the evil of unbelief? Separated from the evil of your own ignorant heart? Separated from the ignorance of foolish, ungodly religion? Is that how you were separated from that into the truth? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now going to be made perfect by something you do in your flesh? This is sanctification. He's made unto us righteousness and sanctification. All. And when he does this, now back in 1 Corinthians 1:30, he's made unto us redemption. It's so much more in the way that Paul says this, when he says wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He could have said he's made unto you the one who makes you righteous. He's made unto you the one who sanctifies you. He's made unto you your redeemer. But he doesn't say it that way. He says he's made unto you these things. He is these things. Not just he does these things. Christ the person is these things to the believer. He is these things. He is these things. And when he does this, you behold, Christ is the near kinsman. You behold, Christ is the one who purchased me. You behold, Christ is my liberty. If this is what he said, if the Son shall set you free, make you free, you shall be free indeed. When he breaks the shackles, he breaks them. When he breaks them, he breaks them. When he says, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus comes forth. Now that's so. And when he sets you free from that wisdom that you thought was wisdom that was just ignorance. That nobody could convince you was total, absolute ignorance but God. And he did it by making Christ wisdom. And he freed you from that ignorance. He freed it to you. He said, now you're going to know all things. He frees you from that other gospel wherein you thought righteousness and sanctification was by your faith, by your faithfulness, by what you have done. Frees you from that lie. Makes you to receive the faithful one, the holy one, in whom this whole book is about. He truly sets you free, and you're free. Oh, this is the leaven that changes. And when he does this, verse 31, then he that glorieth, glories in the Lord. That's what he does. He glories in the Lord. Now, this is how old things are passed away. This is how everything becomes new. And this is how God receives all the glory. This is the unction from the Holy One. These are the all things that are of God. This is what makes the believer the new creature. All the healing Christ did. This is the hearing of the deaf. This is the seeing of the blind. This is the light of those that are in darkness. This is the arms and the legs of the one who was an impotent man. This is the leaven that leavens the whole lump. It makes a new creature. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's what we're talking about. And John said, after he said that to them about them knowing all things, he said, let that therefore abide in you. Do nothing to hinder this word, this hearing of faith, nothing to hinder this from being hidden in your heart, coming into your heart, continually coming into your heart. Because if that which you've heard from the beginning abides in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. This is how He puts you in Christ and makes you one in Christ, and this is how we continue. How we continue. So, back in our text, he says, this kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. It's like the mustard seed. When he puts this work, begins this work, we begin knowing Christ is all. And from then on, we grow in the strong meat of learning just how fully Christ is all. This word is fire, and it burns up everything. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, you're supposed to divide those first three and those last three. I'm not so sure about that. There's a whole lot of gold and silver and precious stones, religious things that men build on that they consider to be gold and silver and truly precious stone. But this gospel will strike to the core of the heart and reveal the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the fire that burns up. You say, well, gold and silver and precious stones can't be burned up. He said when he comes, when the fire comes, when the word comes, the elements will melt with a fervent heat. That means gold and silver and precious stone. But there's one that won't melt, the foundation, Christ himself. You don't build anything. Everybody knows wood, hay, and stubble is trash. But you don't build anything else but on this. You learn of Christ, him alone. Him alone. That's the fire that won't be quenched in hell. It's the gospel fire. It won't ever be put out. You'll get to hear this for all eternity and hate it with all your being and know that it's because of your own hatred that you didn't heed the word that you tormented night and day with it. And that's why there is no hell for the believer. This fire that hardens the clay warms the heart of the believer and causes him to rejoice, and he'll rejoice in this, warm himself by this fire for all eternity. That's so. This is the leaven. And until we keep putting in this leaven in the hidden man of the heart, and he keeps growing us up into him in all things until that day that he raises us incorruptible, incorruption, glorified, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. And then we'll truly know him. Amen.